Hello, everyone in Construction Land. Welcome again to another episode of Constructive Conversations. I'm your host, Eddie Thompson with Brown Edwards & Company. And today we are joined by Josh Lubker. Josh has a company, the Construction CFO. CFO services are, I would say they're rising these days. It's a good area to be in, a good space to be in, and provides a lot of benefits to contractors out there. So welcome to the show, Josh.
Thank you for having me. It's good to see you, Eddie.
It's good to see you again, too. I know we've talked a little bit here and there, and I've been on your website, follow you on LinkedIn. You put a lot of good content out there for construction companies. You're welcome. So, Josh, give us a little background on yourself and some information about you and your company.
Yeah. So I started in construction about 10 years ago in 2014. I was on a Google data center, actually didn't do anything with finance. I was quality control for good paperwork for all these different pieces of gear, switch gear and everything. But quickly, I moved into project management because we ran out of stuff. So from there, I really started learning how to manage, billions of dollars. To date, I've done around $2 billion worth of work as a subcontractor. But what I learned throughout that whole process, moving around the country, doing high rises and projects like Langley Air Force Base and Dulles International, is all the big companies have it figured out with how they job cost, how they use different accounting things to look forward and forecast, get all of their lines of credit buttoned down. But nobody helps the little guy figure out how to do that. It's not intuitive. It's not something that's easy. And you can't just jump into a $60,000 software and have it working for you when you're already doing 60 hours a week, just running your own business, doing the work yourself. So I kind of found a little niche where I can apply everything I've learned at the highest level, boil it down to something simple that anybody can replicate, and then just helping people do that. So started a business 2.5 years ago. I've been doing this ever since. Hired a couple people, and this is all we do, is just help people get up and running, understand how their business is making money, where it is, and proving it to banks and proving it to people they can sell to.
Good deal. Good deal. A lot of people, especially when they start off in business, they understand building something, but that all the aspects of running a business itself, become a very big challenge to a lot of folks. And not just the business aspects of management, but specifically the accounting side of it. It's foreign to a lot of people. I couldn't go out and build a shed from scratch without directions from IKEA or something like that. But, so I wouldn't expect that someone who's a heavy highway builder or a vertical builder, would be able to step in and build a WIP schedule or understand their deferred taxes or anything like that when you get into the deep details of construction accounting. So, it's definitely, like I said, it's a great space to be in, the work that you do and very much needed for a lot of startups and even, quite frankly, those that are seasoned and have been in it for a long time, too. So remind me again, I know that you're down south and maybe even the central time zone. Where are you located?
Yeah, I'm actually in Arkansas, in rural Arkansas. I'm from Nebraska, so I don't really have a southern accent, but ended up here with my wife and enjoying it.
Yeah, that's right. I remember now when we talked last, I've spent 3 trips, I think, in Arkansas. It's about a 12-hour drive for us from here in Charleston, fishing on the White River. So I really enjoyed time down in Arkansas. I haven't been to Nebraska though. I would imagine that whole southern belt down there is full of construction and full of people in the industry that can really use your help. But do you typically stay in that area, or is your client base, is it more regional or maybe national?
Yeah, so I actually don't have anybody in Arkansas. I'm I'm not as great with two kids under three to go out and personally market and meet people. So I use LinkedIn and YouTube. I have clients all the way from Montana and Canada down to Houston and into Mexico, from San Francisco over to Washington, D.C. So it's kind of nationwide, except where I am.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the great thing about the internet these days and Teams meetings. And, you know, that's one thing we did learn from COVID is that we did not have to be 20 minutes from someone to service them. You know, we can jump on a Teams call. We can transfer data instantly to anywhere. You know, with the way we do things, it's become more of a remote business.
Yeah.
So that's great. You're able to not have geographic boundaries like that.
Yeah, especially in accounting. It's something that we couldn't always do.
Right. So what is it exactly that you and other fractional CFOs do for businesses, particularly in the construction industry?
Yeah, so what a fractional CFO to me should be inside of the construction space specifically is somebody who helps guide job costing. It's very rudimentary, like down to the basic level, because that helps you understand that your WIP report's correct. It helps you understand your profit and loss, your balance sheet. Everything has to start so granular and move its way up. What I see a lot of times is contractors either have their wives or themselves or somebody local that knows accounting or their CPA, but they don't necessarily understand construction or accrual-based accounting. They understand cash-based accounting, like a t-shirt selling shop or like a restaurant, something where there's an instant transaction. You did this for me, I give you this, and it's same day. But with accounting, you know, or construction accounting, you're waiting 60 days on average just to get paid. And that's a different ballgame. There's different things to look at, and you have to understand when you spend it and when you bill for it and how that accounting works together.
So what challenges do contractors face in financial reporting?
There's a lot of different areas. The ones that I focus on are going to be more like, because of my project management background, I really want to help people get correct on their job costing, because it helps them actually solve problems moving forward, right? So we use the WIP report and we use the profit and loss to kind of project forward at a high company level, but it's not as simple knowing construction. It's everything's a bell curve. You ramp up and it's a slow mobilization into a really busy time. And hopefully it's a slow downtime into trim out and CO. Oftentimes now it feels like it's just ramping up until the end and then everybody just leaves. You have 700 people on site and then nobody on site because it's CO, the way that schedules are compressing. But just having somebody in your corner that can understand how to track data from estimating into accounting, into spending, and send it back to estimating to improve what we're doing well and what we're not. Because at the end of the day, what I see is plenty of civil contractors, or any of them specifically, I just have one in mind, where maybe they make a lot of money on doing concrete or asphalt or the civil work, but they really are not efficient at doing curb and gutter or something else on site. And a big job looks very profitable. It looks like it did fine. But if you only did one part of that job, if you only did the asphalt part of that scope, maybe they lose 15% and they think, hey, I'm making cash flow because they pay faster. But really, they're losing money faster than if they had the big jobs or they only focused on the things they're good at.
So you're helping them break this down by the not just a contract level, but by a specific line item.
Yeah.
And seeing what they're good at, what they're not good at, where they can make improvements or you know, where the hole in the boat is, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. And not just big scopes of work like rock removal or like utilities. I mean, we're talking like how much material did we have for rock? How much did we spend on rock? Was it 57 stone or was it crush and run? Was it a subcontractor? Was it a was it equipment? Was it rented, owned, fuel, whatever? I mean, we track everything granularly, not just high level concepts. And I know you guys know that.
Yeah. So what's the experience level that you normally are working with when it comes to your clients? I mean, is it like in some cases, you'll have a small contractor that starts out and they may hire a bookkeeper, but they're basically someone that's there doing payroll and paying accounts payable, but not someone with the general knowledge of debits and credits or building WIP schedules. What's the normal experience level that you're working with?
Yeah, so I see three types. I have contractors that they got tired of working for somebody else and they did a lot of side work. So they just transitioned to, I'm going to do my own work. And then, like you said, they hire their own bookkeeper. The other one of the two that are very similar is they try to figure it out themselves. I have some that grew to $6 million. They watched a bunch of YouTube videos and they do it themselves. But obviously it takes them 20, 30 hours a week when anybody that does this every day could do it in a couple hours. And then the third kind, which is kind of unique, is I've seen a lot of people that are investing in construction businesses. Maybe they had a banker background or something like that. And instead of getting into real estate, they bought a construction business. And now they understand the financials so well, but they don't understand the operations. And they didn't know when they bought it that they'd have to understand operations. So they don't have time to even focus on their accounting. They just need a team that they can trust. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a mixed bag.
Right. Well, typically what financial accounting software packages are you seeing people use the most? What's become more popular?
And there's a lot of different ones. Everybody starts out with QuickBooks. That's just kind of the way it goes. But I find people don't realize how quickly they outgrow QuickBooks because there is no WIP report. There is no, or bonding report, whatever you want to call it. There is no change management. You can't add change orders. You can't budget things and actually get granular and track it in real time. That just causes people a lot of headaches. Whenever you want to go grow your business, you want to get a loan, you just can't do it because you don't have your WIP report. It takes 6-10 hours just to figure it out when it should be part of a normal accounting system. So the ones that I see a lot of people using are there's Foundation, there's Sage Intacct. I've been working with Control Core a lot, which is a newer platform, similar costing to QuickBooks, but just more robust. But you can get anything from a couple $100 a month all the way up to $60,000 a year and figure out what's best for you. It just depends kind of if you want it to be a VPN in or if you want it to be truly like online accounting.
Are you seeing more cloud-based than you are physically installed on your client's servers? That's one thing that I've noticed kind of recently is that more packages are going cloud-based.
Yeah, I think people are moving that way because QuickBooks Desktop did have better reports and better capabilities, but since they have publicly, I believe, come out and said that they're not going to be supporting it over the next couple of years. At least I don't know for sure. I've heard people, clients tell me that. So these clients are moving to online-based platforms because the only one that they're aware of that they've been using for so long isn't going to be available, and they just see the writing on the wall. Everything else is cloud-based, whether it's document storage or plans or estimating. So you might as well move everything there.
Right. So one thing that you and I had talked about previously is you had six steps that the construction CFO system follows six steps in any construction business to implement your processes. You probably talked a little bit about those six steps earlier, but can you talk in more detail about those?
Yeah. So there's five of them that really will help any construction business if you guys want to implement this on your own. But the sixth that we use is we have a kickoff meeting. That's the one that you might skip because it's something where our team has to get integrated with everybody else on the team, make sure everybody's aligned, set meetings, have that cadence. We build the system. So whatever estimating software people use, we've used Estacom from Procore, we've used Acubid, we've used Excel spreadsheets. But whatever it is, we have to find a way to integrate it into job costing and have a feedback loop. Then we move the general ledger. We migrate it to something off. A lot of times this is part of like a QuickBooks move. We're going to a job costing software. So we have the data validation. We make sure that everything is put in the right buckets. I have a lot of clients. There's a lot of just random questions that you're not aware of, right? You have a fuel category or a maintenance category. So is this, we had to replace tracks on a Bobcat, on a skid steer. Is that overhead or is that maintenance on a project? And my answer is always, it depends. Was it something that specifically happened on a project, you hit a big rock and it damaged it, or was it something that was general maintenance, right? We have to kind of understand and make sure that everything starts going in the right buckets so we can track it moving forward. The next step is we do forecast setup. We make sure that we have a cash flow forecast in place. We have our project financial forecast, and we have more or less like a CFO report forecasted and ready to go. So it helps you see trends over the last 13 months, and that helps you project the next couple months. Then we get in the monthly rhythm. All we do is three meetings a month. There's two types, I guess. We have the bookkeeping meeting, 30 minutes a week, just to make sure that everything's getting paid and doing the right thing. Then we do the monthly rhythm, which is project financials is the second week. The third week is the high-level business report, profit and loss, balance sheet, WIP report, things like that. And the fourth week is cash flow forecasting. And if you do those four things and you consistently do them, you're going to have clarity and growth. And it's not fancy. It's like my clients tell me often, like we love sports, we love football, specifically during this time of year. And they're like, it's just like tackling fundamentals. It's just like anything, the drills that you do, you just do the basic things and you get the best results. It's not anything very spectacular. So that's kind of just our six things. You have to kick off, you build the system, validate the data, set up the forecasts, do the monthly rhythm, and just sharpen the sword is the way I like to say it.
These are all things that people that work with you can expect to go through this process, these steps with you, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that kind of sums up your what a normal week or month looks like for you, is going through these weekly meetings or yep. weekly or monthly meetings with your clients.
Yep, and we have one-off yep. things. I mean, people want to have some business review or help understanding their contract and what it means financially. Because a lot of lawyers will look at it for like high-end legal disputes, right? Arbitration or indemnity, all of that. But, you know, when it comes to payment terms, maybe they don't understand what it's going to do to their business financially. Mm-hmm. So that's things that we do one-offs for that as well. We're here to support our clients. At the end of the day, project management taught me that it's not what you know, it's what you can figure out.
Good deal. This probably isn't a question that I'd asked you earlier in our previous conversations, but are you seeing AI be integrated with any of your companies that you work with, or do you see a way that AI can help your business?
Yeah, definitely. With the estimating side, I see a lot of people using it to do bulk takeoff or prepare proposals, things like that. I always worry that you want to double check those because obviously the wording has to be perfect and the quantities have to be right. Project management, any busy work, whether it's spec review or creating the giant spreadsheets that track everything, But for finances, for accounting, I see a lot of it happening for bookkeeping. There's not really a need once you get paperwork into the system that an AI agent can't read the line items and pull out the dollar value, the date, the invoice number, all of that automatically. And you don't have to code most of it. If you write purchase orders up front, that happens. And then you just have an approval process that takes 50% of your bookkeeper's time anyway. It's just entering data. So.
Yeah. It seems like every conference that I go to recently, AI has been a hot topic, and there have been several vendors, you know, whether it's with the accounting, estimating, bidding, or contract review, you know, like you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's just going to be the way things are going forward, and everyone is going to have to, it's going to be hard to get ahead of that curve, but at least try to keep pace with that curve as it's bending. Because it's not going to go away. I mean, AI is here to stay. It's not going to go away. All we can hope is that they regulate it enough to not create an Armageddon Terminator type situation. But
right,
yeah, that would be a little bit far-fetched.
Right. I liken it to, and I was too young to see the transition, but I liken it to like when email became part of the workflow. And when prefab became, it's becoming such a big thing now, you know, let's build it in a stable environment offsite, ship it there, and then just put in one thing that's a big assembly instead of every little component on a ladder, every screw, when you could just do it in an air-conditioned building, right? So I feel like those who lean into it, it takes your mindset from, I'm going to lose work because I, you know, obviously, like, I'm going to have to charge less. Because now it's more competitive. But in reality, now you can do more work, you can do more volume, because you can realign your team, reallocate them to doing more of the bulk install. Instead of having 5 people on site to install stuff, you can have 3. And then those other 2, you just hire one more, and now you can do twice as many projects with the same amount of people, basically. Mm-hmm. So I view AI as the same kind of thing. You can have one bookkeeper do 20 million instead of 10 million.
Right. And I'll just say it from an auditor's perspective, being in public accounting for 27 years, I started off in an era where our work papers were all paper. And we evolved into a digital, we'll just say, file cabinet sort of way of doing things, and slowly got away from using paper for everything to where now all of our work papers are digital, our engagements are digital. And you could have thought at that time that that was going to replace us, or there wouldn't be as much need for CPAs because of that. But all it really did was increase the amount of work we could perform instead of taking away work from us. So,
yeah.
And I think like to your point too, that's what AI is going to mean to the construction industry. It's going to create more opportunities instead of taking away opportunities.
Yeah. The way I've seen it work, at least in my business, even, is you take some of these harder tasks that might require a lot of training, and you can prop people up to grow faster because you can automate a little bit of it while you teach and explain. You can augment their learning and then teach them how to do higher level things and get more out of their career. They're happier, they make more money, because they can just manage AI doing a lot of the basic data entry. I don't feel like anybody really enjoys doing data entry for a career.
So in your opinion, what's the most important thing that a contractor should be monitoring?
That's a good question. I'd say trends in the in their sales cycle and in business development, because it's so easy to get behind the eight ball and lose a couple of projects. And then all of a sudden you're trying to take any project and cutting your price and becoming desperate. So if you begin with the end in mind, I know that in 6 months, I'm going to run out of work. I need to have this much. And these are the margins I want to have. And when you're really busy, then you just increase your margins. But when you are getting a little more desperate, you get more realistic. So that way you don't get in a bind where you lock yourself in for negative 10% on a project just to keep people busy and working. I feel like that's one of the traps that I see, is people feel like they built this big machine and now they have to feed it. Otherwise, if they cut somebody, they're failing.
Yeah. Well, there are definitely a lot of challenges out there for contractors these days, and especially those that are starting up business. The $1 to $5 million contractor. And as they grow, they get more sophisticated. But in my opinion, there is a great need out there for folks like yourself that provide fractional CFO services. It goes beyond more than just entering bills, making payroll, and collecting money, keeping things going that way. It's just an overall way to manage your business from a financial standpoint from someone who knows it from a high level, such as yourself. And they can do so without having to hire on a full-time CFO and have that full expense of another employee as an officer at the officer level.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing that more and more. And I think it's great. Not that Brown Edwards, that we couldn't help people with those situations, but it's not really as an independent CPA things that we should be doing or helping companies make management decisions that would impair our independence. So it definitely pairs well with what we're trying to do as far as help our clients succeed and be successful, make money, be profitable, and eventually retire wealthy. So,
right.
So, yeah. Josh, is there anything else that you want to tell our audience? Just about what you do or just the industry, anything like that?
I feel like the trend I'm seeing lately is just getting back to the basics. It's so easy to get trapped in all of these different softwares, all of these different cool gadgets and everything. Find people you can trust, vet them well. If you don't know what to vet for, ask people, find the right team and then lean into that. I don't want to poo-poo on anybody. And so I'm not going to name names or anything, but like I've heard a lot of people that they just start their fractional CFO business and they think that, well, all I have to do is add this type of a service. And then they don't really know what they're getting into. And they hurt businesses, and they charge, upwards of $16,000. And I've had clients come to me that have a negative seven figures on a balance sheet. They just spent $30,000 on another CFO, and they got deeper in a hole. So I caution people too. It's important to find one, but it's more important to vet them and find the right people. Just like a CPA, you don't want to get audited, right? You don't want to get lose all of your business or have $30,000 or $50,000 of back taxes. So it really matters to find the right people financially.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you have a wonderful website. I think I counted over 40 videos that you have on there. Could you give our audience some information as far as if they want to get in contact with you or where they can find you on the internet?
Yeah. If you go to constructioncfo.net, like Eddie said, I have all of my YouTube videos up there. You can search Josh Lupker on YouTube or LinkedIn. But if you just want to email me, it's really easy. It's just josh@constructioncfo.net. I love talking to people. So I don't like to charge people just to talk and get to know people and their goals and their businesses. But because I truly believe the only reason I do what I do or I can is because people have goals and they just haven't figured out how to get to them. So it allows me to help make a roadmap and hold people accountable and augment again to help them get there.
Good deal. Well, Josh, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast today. It's been a pleasure getting to know you. I look forward to keeping that relationship going. and possibly having you again on the podcast in the future.
Yeah, thank you, Eddie. It's always good to see you and just talk shop. Not everybody loves accounting, but I know some people do.
Yes, sir. Well, everyone, this has been another episode of Constructive Conversations. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on wherever you get your podcasts from, and also visit our YouTube channel. This is Eddie Thompson for Constructive Conversations. So long, everyone.